this morning, by God's grace, I will finish What Is Faith. It took us 2 months to look at What Is Faith. On Wednesday, I'll quickly go through how faith comes. And then as from next week, we'll look at how to turn your faith loose. We have touched it a little bit, but we'll look at it more in details. Please, I beg of you, don't miss these teachings. I know what it costs me to be able to put these teachings together. And I don't even know if you pray for me, but if you pray for me, God bless you, because it's not easy to do this. You know, there are some times you just feel like, okay, let's just leave this topic a little bit. But the Holy Spirit said, finish it. Because Hebrews 11 verse 6, that's where we're starting. It says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. I got a charge from the Holy Spirit. He said, equip my people this year. I want you to teach all that I bring to you this year. I don't know what will happen next year. And that's why we're doing this. Praise the Lord. So last week, we started looking at the Bible faith. Bible faith. If you have been taking notes, can I see your hands up? If you have been taking notes, thank you, sir. Wow. Only about 4 people. The others, I'm praying for you. So last Sunday, we gave a small formula for the faith that pleases God. I want to just run through it again so that you can look at your notes. We said that there are 4 things that if you do, and you do it trusting God, it doesn't fail. It is the faith that is based on the Word of God, which we call Bible faith. Number one, we said, have God's word for what you desire to receive from God. Before you start to endeavor on a desire or you want something from God, find 2 or 3 scriptures that speak about that thing. Find the word of God. Step number 2, believe God's word. And by believe, we mean trust. Another word for believe is to trust. Trust God's word with all your heart. Now, in the course of time, we have said that this is where believers make a mistake. And that's how we started to mention mental assent. Mental assent. People have a mental assent of the word of God. They assent, they agree that the word is true. Okay, mentally. The hardest person to preach to is a religious person. Because before you mention the scripture, if you read one part of it, he will complete it for you. Mentally, in his brain, he agrees that the word is true. But his heart does not receive it. And we say mental assent will not do anybody any good. Trust the word of God with your heart. Your heart refers to your spirit. And I'm going to talk a lot more about that this morning in the next like 20 minutes. You see, in the physical realm, we operate by our 5 senses. Is that not so? Is that not so? Please follow me because I might not follow what I wrote down to be able to cover by 12. We walk by our senses. Please do not say that pastor says you should walk by faith. So when you go to the road, you will not open your eyes and look both ways first to cross the road. You say, I have faith, no car is coming. Or you see a car coming, say, I have faith, this car cannot do me anything. And you walk in front of the car. You don't have faith. You're trying God. Amen? And the Bible says you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Don't tempt God. Amen? Thou shalt not tempt God. Everybody say, I shall not tempt God. Amen? So in the physical realm, so when someone comes to you and proposes $1 million deal to you or $1 million deal to you and says, give me $1 million and I'll give you the goods. Will you not want to see the goods first before your $1 million leaves your account? In those kind of natural things, God has given you the five senses to operate in those kind of things. Amen. But when it comes to spiritual things, because God is a spirit, if you need to receive from God, you must receive with your spirit, in the spirit. I said two things. You receive spiritual things with your spirit, in the spirit first. And then with time, the spirit will rule over the physical. Amen. So things like healing, you want to receive Holy Ghost baptism, or just an answer to prayer, you have to receive it in your spirit. And that is not based on however you feel. It is not based on the news, the stock market. It is not based on whether there is recession or not. Amen. Amen. Bible says, those who know their God. What does it mean to know their God? Is to walk in faith. They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. The Lord Jesus is the miracle worker. Amen. So he works the miracle, but a miracle is a supernatural thing, is it not? So the miracle has to be received in the spirit first before it will manifest in the physical. Put down your legs. Please, can we start teaching children to sit properly? Amen. Number three. Yes, who remembers number 3 point? Okay, you have to look at it first. Who remembers the 3rd point? Consider not the contradictory circumstances. Do not consider the circumstances physically that are contradicting to what you have received. So when somebody comes in line for healing and you pray for the person, that person receives it by faith, whether it has manifested physically at that time in his body or not, he receives it by faith. In fact, if you were being prayed for a sickness, as they finish ministering to you at that time, that is probably when the sickness will increase. Because the devil is fighting your confession. I don't know if you understand. He wants you to open your mouth and say, it has not worked. And this is where we have a problem. We spiritual people, we believers, this is where our problem is. Knowing the difference between where to walk in the physical realm and where to walk in the spirit. The Bible says, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your flesh will lust so that you can confess negatively. It is the same thing. It is the same principle for getting the new birth. When you said, "Lord Jesus, come into my life," it is the spirit on the inside that was born again. Is that not so? Did your face change? Did your body change? No, you're still the same person you were before you prayed that prayer. And most of the times, all the things which you used to do before, all the sinful habits, were still there. But when you now pray that prayer and the Spirit of God now enters your own spirit and the Spirit of God begins to work, there is a change from the inside to the out. The change is from the inside to the out. As you keep reading your Bible, as you keep disciplining yourself by the Word of God, disciplined by the Word of God, you will find out that by and large, the Spirit will rule over the flesh. Amen. It's the same thing with receiving the Holy Ghost baptism. When you come, a man is first filled with the Holy Ghost before he speaks in tongues. It's not the other way around. That is the problem we have. So we want to speak in tongues first before we know that we are filled. No. And how do you receive the Holy Ghost? It's by faith into your spirit. And brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost is not just a spirit. He's a spirit being. He's a third person of the Trinity. It is not an it. It's a person. Praise the Lord. So these are the four steps, even if I don't say anything because of time, these are four steps that are certain when followed to achieve results. Then the final fourth one, I've not mentioned it, is what? Give praises to God for the answer, even when you have not yet seen it. And someone will ask, when do I stop keeping praise? You keep giving praise until it materializes. If it takes a day, you give praise. If it takes 1 week, you keep giving praise. If it takes 1 month, you stand on your praise. Your praise is a declaration to God that I agree, I have received it. And by and large, that word will come to pass. Amen. If you follow these four steps. So, you know that thing of after they pray for you, and I used to make that mistake. You start checking your body, whether the thing is there. Don't do that any longer. If you have believed in your spirit that you have received it, it means it is gone. Please understand me. It means it is gone. Is that not what you're saying in the spirit? I have received my healing. It means that condition is gone. Eh? Whether it is still happening in your body, the next step says, do not consider the contradictory circumstances, the contradictory evidence. Don't consider it. Ignore it. Just keep giving God praise. Lord, I thank you because my eyes are open. I thank you because I'm seeing. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. One day, you will not just know it. Because when your eyes is focused on seeing evidence in the body, you are bound to get into doubt. But when you ignore the situation, it was this morning that the Lord made this clear to me. When you ignore the situation, you just find out one day you wake up and that thing is gone. You didn't even know when it went. It is gone. You won't even remember it again. It's gone. You say, oh, this used to happen, but it's gone. But if you keep... I had a problem. Let me share this testimony. I think it's only my wife that knows about it. I had some things that were like tumors just bulging out of my stomach. I never told anybody, but I told her and I told mommy. And we kept praying about it. From time to time, the place will be paining me. From time to time. I've been praying about it over a year. Over a year. And I just prayed. So as we started doing this teaching, as I'm doing that study, I laid my hands on those things and I prayed. And I got up this morning and they are not there any longer. I just noticed they are not there. But if every morning you go and press it small, oh, okay, you're still here. And then you say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You pass again, you press it small, you come to the mirror, you check, it's still there. You never go. You know he has said, I don't rebuke you. Yes, you're bound to walk in doubt at one point or the other. Ignore that thing. Take your mind off it. And the Lord will bring it to pass in Jesus' name. And then we talked about Thomas's faith versus Abraham's faith. We find faith in John chapter 20, verse 25. After Jesus rose from the dead, he said, and the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's Thomas's faith. I must see. Seeing is believing. If that's how you walk, can you lift up your hand? Don't be ashamed. Just. Okay, is that how you used to walk? Let's say it like that. You used to walk, but I know you have heard this word now, so you're changing. Nobody used to walk like that. Guy. But carry uncle. Make I see first. What was Thomas saying? Even if someone appears that looks like Jesus, he has to go and investigate. Prove to me that you are Jesus. Show me your hands. As I'm sure he knows Jesus, he spent 3.5 years with him. So even if someone appears, he will go and tell the person, let me see the hands first. And then show me the side. That is the height of unbelief. And the Lord rebuked him, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Yes. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hands and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas was a believer. In fact, let's call him his real name. His name was Brother Thomas. Sister Thomas. He was a disciple. Thomas was in every meeting. Every meeting. Evening meeting, morning meeting, afternoon meeting that Jesus held. He was there. Thomas did not read a book. Thomas saw him. Go to the next verse. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Why? Because he has seen. Now go to the next. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Are you believing now because you have seen? Please, can we read the next statements? One to go. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. This is Bible faith. not seeing it yet, but you have believed that you have received it. It activates a blessing. Praise the Lord. Then, as compared with Abraham's faith, in Romans chapter 4, read from verse 17 to 21. Romans chapter 4, from verse 17 to 21. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth, please pay attention, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Can you give me amplified of that particular verse? Amplified version. He said, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. Speaking faith is to speak non-existent things into reality. And that is the power of creation. He said, let there be, and there was. If you're a child of God, and to walk in the realms of the supernatural, you can't do it without faith. Is a currency that activates the power. And you cannot have faith that does not have a Bible base. Amen? Because it has to act on the word. So, your faith is directly, please write this down. Your faith is directly proportional to the amount of the word that is in your spirit. I repeat, your faith is directly proportional to the amount of the word of God that is in your spirit. I didn't say in your head, because that would be mental accent. In your spirit, you have believed. How much of God's word do you believe? That is the measure of your faith. All right, I have to stop here. So, in closing, let me say this, because real faith in God. Are you writing? Real faith in God is based upon the word of God. Real faith in God is based upon the word of God. Two, real faith in the word. Real faith in the word. The first one is real faith in God. Now, this one is real faith in the word says, if God says it is true, then it is. Real faith in the word says, if God has says it, then it's true. It's finished. Whether I have seen it or not, once God has said it, it's true. Did you get it? Now, let's go over the first one. Real faith in God says what? Is based on the word of God. Amen? You can't have faith that is not based on the word. Then real faith in the word says, if God says it's true, then it is. It doesn't matter what the circumstances say. Amen. Praise the Lord. Finally, last week, I said I was going to tell you something I found Smith Wigglesworth said. Now you ask me, who is Smith Wigglesworth? You know, it's good to emulate men who have gone ahead, learn from their life. Amen? Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. Okay, you know what a plumber is? And he didn't go to school. I think he finished just primary school. He didn't go to secondary school, the equivalent they have over there, not to talk of university. But he met with the Lord. And he got to know God so much that, everybody listen, whenever Smith Wigglesworth is about to stand on the pulpit to preach, he speaks flawless Queen's English. The anointing gives him the ability to speak in flawless English. Once he gets down from the altar, that thing leaves. He can't speak a word. He goes back to preaching. It was that good. So people came to see this man who they knew that he didn't go to school. How does he preach with such eloquence in English? Speak to governors, speak to senators, speak all their legal language without having learnt it before. It attracted people. What kind of man? What is the anointing upon this man? Then Smith Wigglesworth had a faithful woman in his church who died. He said that woman was a pillar of the church. God bless women in Jesus' name. Can I hear all the women in the church shout a loud amen? Let me tell you the truth. There is something in a woman that can groan that a man may not be able to do. That thing that gives them the ability to carry a pregnancy 9 months and to go through labor. It can give them the depths of intercession that a man might not be able to reach. Is that true? The men in the congregation are looking at me. The day will come when I'll talk about male and female. It will be a wonderful day. I'm sure the sisters will sit on one side and the brothers will sit on the other side. And then I'll come and mix them together so that we will not fight. Okay. But if you understand the peculiarities of the male expression of God, and you understand the peculiarity of the female expression of God, you understand God better. Because the two are to complement one another. It's not that they should compete. No, there is no competition. The two are supposed to work together. Apostle Paul gave instances. There were some women that he mentioned in scripture. People that groomed him. Women that helped him. We just call Paul. There were women that helped him. There were women that took care of the Lord Jesus. Is it in your Bible? So men could so carry the ego and kuko, so that we can all go to heaven together. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this woman who who was the pillar of the church, died. And Smith Wigglesworth called his elders, let's pray this woman back to life. So that if I quote Smith Wigglesworth, you know the kind of man I'm quoting. Amen. And as they were praying, they said they prayed for many hours. And the elders, you know, when you're praying and you're looking for a physical sign, after some time, you start to convince yourself that maybe it is not the will of God for the person to come back. So the elders stopped him. I said, we have been praying. This woman is not responding. So maybe it is God's time for the woman. He sent the elders out. He said, get out. If you will be the voice of doubt, leave this room, get out. And he was left with one young man. All the other elders left. And a crazy thing happened. Smith Wigglesworth told the young man, help me, let's carry this woman up. You know that a dead body is heavy. As once something becomes a dead body, it becomes heavier. Is that not true? And they carried the woman and they placed the woman on the wall. Now, this young man was looking at his spiritual father. He said, you say we should keep this? He said, yes, keep her. And after they kept the woman, he told the young man, remove your hand. The young man removed his hand. And Smith Wigglesworth said, in Jesus' name, walk. And he walked away and started thanking God. And the next thing, the young man fainted. Because lo, the dead body started walking.
The young man fainted and he woke the young man. The young man got up, saw the woman again. Boom. And ran outside and called the others. Others came, put their head, took off.
So Smith Wigglesworth said something. He said, please, I encourage you to write this down because I found this very, very touching. He said, you can't understand God by feelings. If you're trying to understand God by your feelings, oh, I feel the headache is gone. Oh, I feel the pain is still there. Oh, I don't feel it's there any longer. You can't understand God by feelings. Two, you can't understand the Lord Jesus by feelings. The Father and the Son can only be understood by what the Word says about them. Let me repeat three. Three, the Father and the Son can only be understood by what the Word says about them. And he said this last thing. God is everything the Word says he is. God is everything the Word says he is. Let me go through it again. Number one, you can't understand God by feelings. I'm feeling, no, you can't get God like that. Two, you can't understand the Lord Jesus by feelings. Three, the Father and the Son is only understood by the Word. And four, God is everything His Word says about Him. Can we stand on our feet? Your name is higher above all other names. Your name is Jesus. Your name is